Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
When I awake, I am still with thee. Thou hast searched me and known me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Do not be afraid. The words of this morning's introit confess that we are not alone. The Lord is with us. Nothing passes his notice. He knows everything about you. Everything. More than you know about yourself. He knows all your fears. He knows all your sorrows, all your struggles, and all our sins. He looks upon us in omniscient, all-knowing love to save us. Is it not a testimony to the amazing nature of God's love for us that he who knows all things about us still gives his Son into the death of the cross to save us? This is amazing. It is astonishing. It is hard to believe. It is impossible to believe. It leaves us awestruck. But it is true. It is this truth that takes away all fear. The God who knows all things about us still gave his Son to save us. And the Savior who endured the pangs of hell by dying the most horrible death of crucifixion for us is risen from the dead, never to die again. I can't believe it, but it is true. Mark's account of the resurrection of our Lord is the briefest account and testimonies in all the gospel accounts. It moves swiftly from the women journeying to the grave with the spices to anoint the body of Jesus to the announcement, "He is risen," by the young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side of the stone table where they had laid Jesus' body. The women were shocked. That is the best way to define the word that Mark uses. Shocking terror and amazement that was mingled with unbelief and fear. How can this be? Alarmed, as it is translated, doesn't begin to capture the swirl of emotions that those women were experiencing when they came to the tomb. They knew he had died. They took his body down from the cross. They laid him in that tomb with the help of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. What has happened? I can't believe this. There is no body. What are we seeing? But the young man said to them, "Do not be alarmed, afraid, astonished, shocked. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified? He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." The young man who spoke to them was an angel, a messenger. There were lots of angels at Jesus' resurrection, but Mark's account, he testifies to a single angel. And there's a reason. He wants us to understand the rapier laser focus of the gospel message. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he is risen from the dead according to the scriptures, just as he said. He is risen from the dead to declare us righteous. We are justified. Our sin is forgiven. By his forgiveness, we are reconciled to God. Do not be afraid, alarmed, amazed, or shocked. All of this has happened just as he said, according to the word. Faith knows no other consolation but the word. The young man immediately commanded the women, but go and tell his disciples and Peter. Peter, the one who denied me on oath, tell him that Jesus is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him again, as he said to you. Let's talk about the disciples' fear. Perhaps your fears are similar to the disciples' fears. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, they ran away, fearing for their lives. Peter thought he was going to die, so he denied his Lord in fear. They were locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. When they saw Jesus tortured and nailed to the cross, they thought his message was a lie, and their lives would end in hopeless despair without a future, and they were afraid. We were all wrong. Everything we believed was a lie. They feared suffering martyrdom and death, but the worst fear of all is that if Jesus were not the Son of God and their Savior, then they were still in their sins and they had no comfort for the failings and shortcomings of their own lives. Life would be meaningless and without purpose, and I'm left in sin and darkness and death. Now, our hindsight makes it easy to see that they had nothing to fear. Even Job, in the Old Testament reading today, from a distance, oh man, he lost his family, his property, his honor, his wealth, his flocks and herds. But we know the rest of the story. He gets it all back again. We know why Jesus was arrested. We know. We know why he died. We know. His death atoned for the sins of the world and reconciled us to God the Father. We know that. His death was not a tragedy. We know that. It was the glorious victory over sin, death, and the power of the evil one. We know that. The gospel is not a lie, as the disciples had feared when they saw him crucified and nailed to the cross. It was the truth, and that suffering and death was at the heart of that truth. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he rose from the dead never to die again according to the scriptures, so that all who believe in him have the gift of salvation. And on the last day, we shall rise from the dead never to die again, and this mortal flesh will put on immortality, and this corruptible flesh will put on incorruption. We know that. Everything is so ordered in life of a Christian to bring us into this glorious victory. When I awake, I am still with you. You have searched me and known me. In Christ Jesus, my Savior, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. If this is all true, and it is, then what do you have to fear? What do you have to fear? Some of our fears are founded in reality. Some of them are misplaced. We're dead wrong. I'm not here to debate with you which fears in your life or in the world today are real, or which fears are imaginary. In a very real sense, it doesn't matter. Sermons are about eternal truths. They are about God's word that cannot be debated. Even though many enemies speak against it, and the world thinks that the message of the cross is foolishness, but they are perishing. It is not foolishness to us. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For us as Christians, it is God's word that gives us hope and comfort because it takes away our fears by anchoring our lives and our future in Christ, the Son of God, Creator and Savior, who is risen from the dead. Whether our fears are real or imaginary, whether they are founded upon fact or fiction, the gospel declares to us that Jesus lives. That makes all the difference. I know that my Redeemer lives, Job confessed, even as my own body is destroyed in the grave. I know that my Redeemer lives, and this is a confession of Christian optimism and hope. No matter what happens in this world of darkness and unbelief and fear, Jesus lives, and that makes all the difference. Do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed, astonished, shocked. Do not be astonished at the things you are experiencing. St. Peter says, as though some strange trial were coming upon you. Jesus has conquered death and the grave by his death upon the cross. And he says to you, you belong to me. You belong to me. That makes all the difference. You belong to me on the last day after your earthly pilgrimage is complete, and I will decide when it is complete. The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and you shall be changed. Do not be afraid. The Christian faith, our hope, our comfort, our future, our optimism, must rest upon the scriptures and Jesus' words to us, because nothing else can take away fear, strengthen faith, or give us hope. Nothing else. Shocking terror and amazement mingled with unbelief and fear. That's what the women had when they came to the tomb. It's also what they continue to struggle with. Yes, they continue to struggle with it, even after the angel announced Jesus' resurrection to them. This is wonderfully comforting in St. Mark's account. It's wonderfully comforting for us who are so often just like these women. So again and again, our preachers have to say to us what the angel said to them. Go and tell his disciples and Peter and George and Sue and Chuck and Jan and Kathy and Brian and Jonathan and Samantha that he is risen. Just as he said, your sins are forgiven. He knows you're lying down and you're rising up. Do not be afraid. As long as we are in this world of fear and struggle with our own doubts, we will need that word more than anything else. And the women went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Isn't that fantastic? The swirl of emotions. My goodness. I know that the gospel is amazing. And the gospel is hard to believe, but it's the truth. Let us not keep it to ourselves. Let the world know that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he has risen from the dead with the gift of salvation for all who believe in him. Let's just tell that to someone today or tomorrow or in the workplace, those who are trembling with fear. Christ is risen. He lives. He's taken away your sins. That there is nothing to be afraid of, that Jesus has conquered death. We have the promise of the resurrection from the dead. This mortal body will put on immortality. This corruptible flesh will put on incorruption. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That is shocking, amazing, but it is true. And what sweet comfort it is. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.